Hey gang, are you a musician here in Austin or maybe in the music business and you're finding it difficult to navigate these tricky waters? Well, let me tell you about a great resource for you. The Austin Music Foundation. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools to succeed in the Austin music industry. Simply go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved today.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm going to tell you guys this right now real fast. Just so you know, you guys are my Valentine. Yeah. And I have a great Valentine's Day gift for you. Jane Ellen Bryant returns to the show. She's got a brand new single coming out this Friday, February 17th. It's called All in My Head. She's doing a single release show here in Austin, Friday, February 17th at Seaboys. You got to get out and see that. You can go to janeellenbryant.com. You can go there and pick up her EP, 20s, which came out last summer. Absolutely great EP. But this song, All in My Head, comes out this Friday, February 17th. She co-produced it with the great Frenchie Smith. The song is about a relationship turned sour, which to me is a great theme for Valentine's Day, because to me, Valentine's Day is nothing but a song about a relationship that has turned sour. Okay, Jane and I have a great conversation. We actually had this conversation on Inauguration Day, just in the hour before the president was inaugurated. So we had this conversation, then we sat down and we watched the president get inaugurated, and then Jane went her own way. All right, I will be there Friday, February 17th at Seaboys here in Austin to see her do her single release show. Her band is absolutely fantastic. I've seen them a couple of times. I love seeing Jane play live. She is a powerhouse of a performer and singer and musician and songwriter and now co-producer. Jane Ellen Bryant, brilliant musician. We'll be talking to her from Inauguration Day in just a moment. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. As I said, it is Valentine's Day. I am not celebrating it in any way except for hanging alone and writing a song and booking some shows for South by Southwest. All right. So let's see. How was my weekend? Well, it was weird. Friday night, there was like a trifecta, a celestial trifecta, an astronomical trifecta happening, a full moon, an eclipse, and then some comet was flying by. And, you know, man, I don't really give in to like, oh, man, it's going to be a full moon. Things are going to be weird. But, man, Friday was weird. I played with Skyrocket at Cedar Street. People were out of control. There was a lady that we know that came from out of town to see us play. And when she showed up, she started screaming at us. Like, we were setting up, and she just started screaming all these expletives. Ah, fucking gonna be a fucking night. And, man, it was freaky. I ended up putting on my earplugs. And she was going on. As the night went on, she would pick things up off the stage. Like, she'd lean over and pick up a cowbell from the stage or a drumstick for the cowbell and then stick it in, like, someone's crotch. And it was getting weird. You could see the security guys kind of talking about her and stuff. And then my man Kyle leaned over to her, and he said, hey, you know, you could get thrown out of here, and if you do, we can't do anything about it. Well, 30 minutes later, she was being carried out. She's kicking and screaming, and the security guy's carrying her out of the place, throwing her out. People were coming unglued. There were people, like, you could tell they were having a bad scene, or people were getting all too drunk and getting insane. But it was an insane night. The vibe was insane. I ended up cutting my nose. It's still kind of bleeding and stinging. And it's Tuesday, man. It's Valentine's Day. And I'm bleeding from the face. Anyway, so yeah, that was crazy. Sunday, I got to go to the Austin premiere of The Shopkeeper, which is a documentary about my dear friend and mentor, Mark Hallman. It was made by Rain Perry. It's so great. It is a great movie. It was great getting to see it on the big screen with all the people that were involved in the movie and all the people that love Mark so much. Then everyone headed for an after party at the one-to-one bar where everyone jammed. I got up and played. I got to play keyboards, got to do a tune of my own. It was great. I got to hang out with Jamie Harris, who I really love, and also happens to be Jane Ellen Bryant's roommate, okay? Jane Ellen Bryant's new single, All In My Head, comes out this Friday, February 17th. Get it. iTunes, Spotify, wherever they do music. JaneEllenBryant.com is where you want to go to find out more about her. You can pick up her EP 20s, which came out last summer. And if you live in Austin, you'll want to attend the single release show this Friday, February 17th at Seaboys in Austin, Texas. I've been talking to Jane because I'm doing some stuff with the Austin Music Foundation. We have this Austin Artist Development Program. She's a part of it, so it's nice to get to talk to her about her career outside and off the mics, but it's also nice to come in and sit down and just have a great conversation with Jane Ellen Bryant. I think this is her third time on the show. Never disappoints. A truly talented woman, a great person, and a great hang. Enjoy our conversation that we had just an hour prior to the inauguration. All right? Here's my friend, Jane Ellen Bryant. Let's get down.
I just can't have it like I want.
Did book this like right at the time of the inauguration. Were you gonna watch it if you weren't doing this?
Yes. I was watching it at home, but that's kind of cool that we're doing this instead.
It's neat to watch that and to watch them like come up and talk to each other, and then you're like, I wonder what they're saying when they show up, and they're like, come on in.
Yeah.
Remember Obama took that Tiffany box and like gave it to someone? I wonder who he gave it to. Some guy's like, give me that box.
Oh, when she brought that box.
Yeah, and then he walked back there and he came back. He's like, sorry, man, I had to give it.
Yeah.
Who brings a box to a thing like this?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. I am tired, but I'm good.
You are? What did you do last night? Did you play last night?
I did not play last night, but I taught yesterday from like 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then I had rehearsal and then just, you know.
What are the kids wanting to learn these days?
Depends on the kid.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, everyone has their... There's always like a standard pop song that's like trending in
right.
terms of like, oh yeah, sure, you want to learn this song too? Okay, right. Here we go. But most, I mean...
It's still like Stairway to Heaven and Crazy Train and stuff like that?
Not really. Not
oh,
in
okay.
my world.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm sure in like the guitar, really like lead guitar teacher's world it is. But mine's like... I get a lot of singer-songwriters. So,
okay.
They like Taylor Swift a lot.
Yeah. Do you like Taylor Swift?
I don't dislike Taylor Swift. I don't listen to her, but like I don't not like her.
I like Shake It Off. That's a good song.
Yeah, totally.
I also like the kick drum pattern on this song. About the guy's like bad. He's bad for her in some way.
I don't know.
There's a,
the
all
guys the guys
are
bad
for her.
Every
in some
single
way.
One she's ever had is bad for her.
Yeah.
Apparently.
You have a song that is coming out on Friday.
Yes.
This coming Friday, February 17th, when this comes out, because now this is confusing.
we're
going to go into the inauguration.
Yeah.
And okay, but people are listening to this coming out this Friday, February 17th, All In My Head, a song that came from, inspired by a situation in a relationship I read in the thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh god!
Oh yeah.
let's see. I wrote this song like a couple years ago at least, and it was one of those that like at the time after I wrote it, I was like, hey, I think that's really catchy. Like this could be cool. And then I made the mistake of showing it to someone who was a little bit like uppity about their musical opinion, and they were like, it's fine. So then I was like, oh okay, and I didn't show it to anyone for like a year or so, and then. there was
the sensitive artist.
Yes, exactly. and then like I guess about a year ago now, Frenchie wanted to hear some new songs of mine, and that was like we were just like making like little demos of them, and I started playing that one. He was like, no, forget all the other ones that you were just showing me. Let's think about this one. So then we just started playing it out, but anyways, that story was a time where I thought that this relationship. I'd known the guy for a long time, and we'd finally like kind of taken things to what I thought was a positive direction, and I had been hanging out with him that week, and then I went to this event that I think he like thought I wasn't going to be able to go to, but I ended up being able to go. So I went. Anyways, this girl came up to me and she was all excited to meet me because she like knew my brother and stuff. But it turns out she was like visiting him that weekend. They were dating and like he knew her mom, like his mom or her mom and him like text, you know, like cause it was like a full on thing. And she had no idea that I was like also, I thought, having a thing.
You thought?
Like, I thought it was more than a thing. I thought it was, like, you know, really happening.
You thought you would show up at a place and he wouldn't have another date.
Yeah. Well, like, not just, like, a date, but, like a girlfriend kind of, like, person. Like, someone who clearly thought that that was also, that they were, they seemed further along the track than he and I did. But, I mean, it was just, like, because I knew him very well, so it was very, very strange. So, it made me feel like I must be, like, crazy to not have like recognized that this was what the reality was. So I wrote the song all at once the next day, but I don't know, sometimes it takes me a long time to like a song or know how I feel about it. So
how did you write it? Because it's produced, really, you guys produced it together. Mm-hmm. Did you guys co-produce 20s together?
We did. Okay. Yeah. He was very nice
because you have a very strong idea of who you are.
Yeah, I've had like a lot of experience recording, I guess, for my age, in terms of like, you know, I released 2 albums before this EP, and I learned a lot by like letting other people control it and me not having, and then I like, it's now not on the internet because I just was so unhappy with it. So I've learned how to like say what I want, and Frenchie's freaking awesome and totally like respects that and has totally welcomed me in that world. So yeah, I just have lots of opinions when it's my song. So
As you should.
Yeah. So, we co-produced 20s, and we definitely co-produced All in My Head as well. But I have to give him so much credit because he sort of took this song to, it wasn't quite working out live. Like, we played it live for about a year with the band, and it was just like, I just knew, like, okay, something is missing. Like, this is just not, it's not as awesome as it should be, you know? And I think that was a mix of just, a lot of had to do with like the background vocals not being what they were yet, or what they are now, and then just like the verses being like this kind of like heavy bass thing. None of that was happening live, so
that's hard to do.
It's so hard
to come
do
up
live.
With that with a band.
Yes,
you know it, what I mean. Band, to be in a rehearsal room and come up with something like that is difficult.
Yeah, it was like impossible because everything we did is we changed the groove, we changed everything, and it just wasn't. It wasn't what it, like, and I wasn't hearing the background parts yet for some reason. It was just like, that feels like too crazy to sing along to, so, but my voice was so high in it, it did feel like kind of overexposed, so it wasn't something that it felt like people could, like, sing along to, because it was like, so high, you know?
Yeah.
But now that the background vocals
I was singing that.
Yeah.
I was, halfway through the song.
Yeah. So now people, I think, can feel like, oh, yeah, I can sing this song.
Yeah.
But not that, that sounds cocky, and I don't mean it that way, but it was just like so like I don't know much,
well, you can go to some stratospherical places with your voice.
Well, it's not something that
the average Joe can't,
I guess, but yeah. I didn't find people singing along to it, but now that we've added that, I do. And but Frenchie like took, so we had gone to the studio I think in August to do just like the drums and basic stuff for it, and we were like having trouble figuring out like, okay, are we going to make this part, like we were going to make the verses slower than the chorus or something. We just tried a bunch of shit. And then he was like, will you just let me sit with this for like, I had to go to work. And he was like, I'm just going to try some things. And I was like, okay. So I came back the next day and he had taken from the demo we had made like a year before. There was like during the vocal, like improvising thing, I had done this little da 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 whatever. And he liked that part. And he had been telling me, I want to take that and like put it all over the song. And I didn't understand what he was saying, but then he did. He like took that little sample.
Yeah.
And it didn't work in every chord because it was just, you know, like that's one part. But yeah. Right. But the idea was there.
Yeah.
And then he put the, like, I had played already this like ancient thing, bass thing, I don't know what it's called, I had already put that in there, so that was there. And then he put that, all of a sudden it just was like, okay, this is a whole new direction. Yes, this is really cool. So he made it come to life in a new way.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's amazing. It's nice to work with somebody that can kind of, like, that was probably just a throwaway singing thing you were doing.
Oh, and totally. I did it every time.
It's the fucking hook of the song.
It totally is, yeah. I did it every time because I kind of had it in my head of, like, what, you know, that part was going to be. But now that it's in the verses and stuff, it's just this little thing, you know. I don't know. It's like a little hook melody thing that happens throughout the whole thing. And now the guitars are doing it. It made everything, like, oh, him pointing out what, that part that was already in there but not really being used much, like, change the game. So
yeah, you know what's cool is I haven't even known you a year, I think, and I've seen you go through just this, just such growth. Thanks. Like, you seem to be like a growing weed. You know what
really?
I mean? Musically, yeah, artistically, like, you are just going.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I feel, I mean,
it's really inspirational.
Thanks.
It's inspiring.
It's weird. I haven't known you a year. I was thinking about like when I came here last time, I was like just gotten back from Paris, and 20s was about to come out and everything.
But that's was just that wasn't this even summer.
Yeah, that was the summer. Yeah. But I feel like so much has happened since then.
Yeah, I feel like we've been through a lot.
Yeah, yeah, like so much.
Yeah,
yeah. But at the same time, too, I'm like, I'm so impatient, and I want, you know, I feel like I constantly have to be making progress. And
well, here's what I like about you is that you're not just impatient about, like, career stuff. You're also impatient with pushing yourself as an artist. Like, you want to get to another place, and you work hard to get there. A lot of times people forget that aspect of it. They're just trying to get, they just want more from everyone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Thanks.
And it's nice to see an artist that expects more from themselves than from the other people.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and seeing
that.
You play live is a pretty amazing thing. You are a tremendous singer and performer and songwriter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like my band and I have definitely in the last year, I think we've grown a lot, just because it's basically been the same band for over a year now.
Right.
Which is just, you know, huge. And
anybody that has a band here in Austin that's listening to this right now is like, whoa, how'd you do that?
I don't know. I mean, we have like subs every once in a while, which are, you know, they're always great. But the heart of the band has been there now for over a year. And they're, once again, the people who recorded the songs or recorded all in my head, you know. So I think that helps a lot. And
is that hard when you go in and you create something new with Frenchie that you guys had been working on before?
Yes.
And then you go in with another dude and you bring it back and you're like, guys, this is totally different now, but it's awesome.
Well,
are they like, oh, yeah.
Well, like for like All My Head, like they all played on it, but they all played on it separately. For 20s, they all like, they basically all came in at the same time. But for All In My Head, it was like Chris Copeland did the drums. And then most of the bass we ended up actually, I played on that. Whatever, I don't remember what it's called.
I love that. I wish people could see the way that you're pantomiming playing this bass. It seems like some insane person that only plays with one finger.
That's how I did it. It's like, it's like this huge piano bass thing, but it's not a piano. Whatever, I'm the worst. I don't know what it is. But I played that for like the verses and stuff. And then Kai Roach came in and did, I don't know what she did, but she did some other things on it. And then Brian Patterson, my guitar player, came in and added extra stuff, but I play guitar, and it was just like all like lots of different things at different times. So by the time we had the end product, none of them had heard at all what it, like, we added that extra, like the electronic drum like breakdown thing, that was not there when they all recorded. That was just like an extra thing we did, so they were like, I'm sorry, what, where did this go?
Right.
So yeah, we're still trying to figure out, and hopefully, because now the show is like 3 days away, we will have had it figured out right now. But we're,
people will have, you will have it figured
we're
out.
Totally gonna have it figured out. But right now we're in the process of you know, being able to, because once people hear this song, they're going to be expecting what they hear on the recording, and that's, you know, obviously takes more than just our basic instrumentation we've had in the past. So
people can see you go do this Friday. February 17th at Seaboys Heart and Soul.
Yeah. And Dr. Joe's gonna, me too. I love that place. I've never played there, so I'm really excited. Dr. Joe's gonna kick things off at 9, and then we'll be on afterwards, and I think it's gonna be a good party. So,
you know, I've never officially played there, but I walked on stage during a Santana song and sang all the Spanish like response lines when I was drunk one night.
Hell yeah.
That friend of mine's band was playing, and I looked at them, and they kind of knew why I was staring, like, hey, no one's singing the Spanish thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. And so I just walk on stage like with my drink. Ellos tienen que jugar. No, go walk off.
That's awesome.
I love that place, though. That's a good...
good vibe.
It is a good vibe.
Yeah, I feel like it's... We wanted something that people... Because the song is, like, super upbeat and fun, I wanted it to be, like, a venue that people would just go hang out at anyways,
yeah.
You know? Rather than, like, you only go there to see music kind of place,
right,
you
right.
know? Like, I've been there just to go have a drink kind of thing. So...
I did that the other night. Check this out. I played a gig in, like, Dripping Springs. It ended at 11:30. I got home, and I was like, I call a fare. I'm going to go to Seaboys and have Jimmy a drink just like that.
Is that what you're going to say?
What's that?
Jimmy Vaughn was playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I walk in, it's Jimmy Vaughn. I'm like, yeah, okay. No yeah. big whoop.
Yeah.
12 people there.
Yeah.
Chilling. Few friends. We're already there, hanging out.
Like, whatever.
Yeah. No big deal. Yeah. That's pretty, great,
yeah,
right?
Right. Let's see. I feel like that place is just a little bit, has a little bit of magic to it. So we'll see. I hope it's fun.
Yeah. It will be fun.
It will be. Yeah.
So what do you have planned for that show? Just the band is going to be playing.
Band's playing. It's New Year's. So I want to like kind of refresh the set a little bit, you know. New covers, new. This song will feel different. You know, we're working it out. But
what did you? The last time I saw you, you did two covers, and they were covers that we play in my cover band.
Yeah.
Straight On by Heart and Kiss by Prince.
Yes.
Can you divulge what the other covers would be?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah, because we're still figuring it out.
Is there anything you've been listening to that you like a lot?
The answer should be yes, but I feel very stale in that department right now, so please show me what I should be listening to. But I work, you know, with music all the time, which is awesome.
Right.
But
it's learn songs and teach songs.
Yes,
right,
but
right.
It's not like what I pick, you know. It's right. just like, you know, most of the time it's what someone else picks. And sometimes it's so inspiring. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Other times you want to punch yourself in the face. But at the end of the day, though, it's like I don't really choose to go. I listen to like a podcast or something or just the radio. I'm not like my brain is a little bit fried in that department. So I don't. Hasn't been an album that I'm like just totally fallen in love with lately. So
don't you live with Jamie Harris?
Yeah, and she's
just
so,
seems like there's a fucking she like she's like a DJ.
She
like
totally
living with
is.
A DJ that's on the air 24 hours a day.
No, she's like she's just incredible. She always knows what's
she
up.
Sent me a text.
I know she
at
told me
4 o'clock in the morning. That was like, hey, what Eliza Gilkison song
did
you
sing or,
no,
she
no,
saw
no,
your
she
name
said,
on
what,
the credits or something.
What did you sing on this thing? And I'm like, what is that? She was like, it's an Eliza Cookie.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, yeah. I know
yeah, she's
that.
Awesome. She's always, she knows everything. She's just like a true artist. But yeah, she does that. Last night, I guess, got home. I was asleep, but she got home late. I don't know what she was doing, but she made food. And then this morning, I noticed that we have an aggressive kitten named Kitten.
Wait, you have an aggressive cat, aggressive kitten?
Well, it's a cat named Kitten.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, whatever, but she has like an eating problem or something. Like she's very aggressive. She steals like cheeseburgers out of my mouth when I'm eating them.
Oh shit! Okay,
yeah, I can't enjoy a meal in my own home anymore because this cat is just out of control. But she stole Jamie's food last night and like ate a whole thing of butter, and so right now she's like lying on the floor like groaning. So I'm sure I'm gonna have some mess to clean up when I get home, but. She's the worst, but she's the best.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you grow up with pets?
Yeah. We had dogs off and on. And I think, we had I had rabbits that got eaten by dogs in front of me. That was really sad.
Whoa.
Time.
How old were you for that?
First grade.
Ooh.
Rough times.
Ouch.
Yeah. I like.
Wow.
It was so bad.
Was it your dogs eating? Like,
no, it was the neighbor's dogs.
Oh.
They like, the rabbits were outside in this cage and my mom was, yeah, it was so bad. My mom was, feeding them, so she had like the cage door open and these dogs came and started like barking around them and whatever, and so they got freaked out, and instead of like staying in the cage like smart animals, they jumped out, and there were two rabbits and two dogs. So I'm in the house watching all this from the window, but so each dog took its own rabbit and chased them around. My mom can only protect one at a time, so she's running around with a baseball bat trying to get these like dogs away from these rabbits. But I'm like literally watching this happen. Watch this dog like come and take Bugs into the bushes right in front of me, and just like it was so bad. And apparently
I do the whole like
yeah, 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 it was so bad. Apparently I don't remember this, but apparently I had my teddy bear that I like was very attached to and was just running around the house like screaming. I like, just wouldn't stop. So my mom doesn't know, so she calls the cops.
Yeah.
And
dogs get arrested.
Dogs go to jail. But apparently eventually she got the rabbits like back in the cage and they're all like bloody and she gets these dogs away and whatever. But I remember seeing the rabbit, like, because they basically just died of fright because it was like in the, and they were bloody and messed up, but mainly it was, they just like fell over.
I don't want to laugh at this sad story.
It's so sad. But the cops came and I remember like I got to sit in the cop car and then my dad, I asked my dad later, like, so what happened? You know, where's Bugs? And he was like, okay, well, Bugs is at the vet. Why? It doesn't look good, you know. Yeah. I forgot what I was talking about before that.
There was a song on The Simpsons a long time ago that Lisa sang, said, I had a cat named Snowflake.
Oh, it was died. Snowball. It was Snowball. Snowball, yeah, Snowball. It was Snowball and Bugs. Yeah. Those are the names. Oh, we're talking about pets. Yeah. So that was traumatic. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
No, that's okay. You know what? I had, there was like an urban, just the urban chicken movement that has happened in the aughts, you know, where people just have chickens downtown in their house on the east side. There are neighbors where I lived with my dogs that are still around. The Greyhound guy, we had just gotten him. It was like 2009 or so. Okay. And one of those chickens used to come over in our yard, mm-hmm. used to get in our yard and hang out. So mm-hmm. you'd let the dogs out sometimes. They'd be like, whoa,
oh, yeah.
like chase after yeah. him. And I saw Dylan, the Greyhound, go really fast, like Greyhound speed towards the chicken. And I was shit. Ran around the corner. He had the chicken in his mouth and he was doing the, just going back to do it. And I was like, Dylan,
you drop it.
Like so safe. And he dropped it.
Oh, wow.
And then he looked at me like, dude. Why did you do that to
like
me?
The
everything
vibe here.
Inside me was gonna eat a chicken. But yeah, that's a pretty. It's an intense thing when you're like your sweet little pets become like animals.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, they weren't our dogs, but we had dogs after that. Even though for a long time I didn't like dogs after that incident, but
I understand that
we had cats too. But this little kitten that Jamie and I have just invited itself into our lives, showed up on our back porch as a hungry little kitten, and we didn't know what to name it or if it was boy or girl, so she became Kitten until we officially took her in.
That's nice.
It was.
Now she's a food stealer.
Yeah, now she just, like, dominates her whole life.
Terrible cat. You know what? We've been talking together because you're in the AMF ADP.
Yeah.
The Artist Development Program. It's just starting, so there's really nothing to say much about it except for that we did have a nice coffee one day.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad to be able to get to see this firsthand, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing to have this. I mean, it's like, I still feel like too good to be true that just sitting down with y'all and like having y'all just like help is like just huge, you know?
So, yeah. Well, also like for people like us, I mean, I don't know about the other two guys, but I know for me it feels good. And it's invigorating and inspiring because after you've done this for a long time mm-hmm. and you're just kind of like, God, why do people do this? And then you hear, you know, something that you've done and see your enthusiasm for doing it. And you're like, oh, yeah.
That's why.
This is super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I get that a little bit of that, or not a lot of it, teaching, you know, you just like remember.
I bet.
Like,
yeah.
I'm constantly reminded of like, oh, yeah, like this is what it's about. It's not about all this other crap I'm worrying about. Like, the fact that this person is just so naturally drawn to it and these songs are just flowing out of her and it makes her so happy. Oh, yeah, that's the point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful I get to see that.
Do you and Jamie ever write songs there in your house?
We should. We like attempted to one time because it just sort of like naturally started happening. But we're honestly both just like never home at the same time. And when we are, we just like want to be like sleeping on the couch, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're exhausted or something. But like we're just... There's been like weeks where we never even see each other because we're both so busy. So I wish we did. We're like touring together a little bit right now. So
I saw that.
Yeah, that's been awesome, and we need to do more of it because it went really well. And she's so great to travel with. And
she seems like she would be fun to travel with.
So fun. She's just so chill, and we both like we're not very high maintenance. So it's just like, yeah, let's do that. Okay, cool. Let's go to this weird place. Sweet. Like, you know, which is fun. And when we're actually, we did this thing where we did, instead of doing like two separate sets, we did a song swap the whole time.
That's cool.
Which helped me a lot because she's so great at...
Because you two also sing back up for each other.
Yes, yeah. Okay, yeah. So she's so great at like introducing her songs and just like talking like herself on stage. And I'm okay at it, but I'm learning. And it's harder with like a band too, but...
Always.
When I'm by myself, I just haven't done many solo gigs lately, but I have this year. I've had like 5 already. But it made it so much easier to talk because in between songs, you're kind of like thinking, okay, what could I talk about? And then we'd feed off of each other and sing for each other. It kept the show really interesting because we're bouncing off ideas and it was really cool. So I hope we get to do that more.
What do you plan on touring with the band or what all do you have plans to promote the All In My Head single outside of just the release show?
Well, we've got shows coming up. I'm trying to plan it tours. It's just really hard and expensive. So, I'm playing in Los Angeles, but I'm doing that by myself. Just
where are you playing at, like Hotel Cafe?
Yeah. End of February, and trying to get back to Nashville and playing around just like drivable distances in Texas. Besides that, but hopefully, like after South by, I'll like try to do that pretty much all the time. But
did you get accepted to it?
Not yet.
I'm not yet.
Hopefully, by the time you listen to this, yes.
If you don't, what are you gonna do? What do you kill yourself? No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump off a bridge.
But not a super high bridge, just one of these little tiny.
Yeah,
just a walking.
Hope it works.
A walking bridge. Yeah. Would you find other showcases?
Yeah,
to do?
I already have a lot to do. Yeah, I already have like 3 other things, and I know it's just like a formality, really. You know, which not that I wouldn't be so excited about it. I am, but you know, just. It's just one of those things you gotta do.
I haven't seen my ex-stepmom in 3 years. She sent me a text yesterday that she's coming in like that Friday and Saturday. I hope you have time for me. I'm like, dude, can you come in a different time?
You picked the worst time. Yeah. Like, no one has. It's just like, I feel like it takes months to recover from that 1 week, you know?
It does.
It's like so intense.
Yeah. You know what I've gotten? We don't walk like it's New York, but you do during South by.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All
of a sudden, you're walking everywhere. Yeah. And you're like, wait, why don't I ever do it? Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like walking across downtown to South Congress, you know? Like, it's like, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, I know. But when you're out and about, you're like, oh, I gotta take an Uber or whatever we have now, you know?
Whatever's left.
Yeah, I can't remember. One of those things.
Dude, I got in a guy's car the other day, a fare, and I got in the back seat, which I don't like. I like that these people let you sit in the front seat.
Oh, I always get in the back seat.
I got in
it's
the
like
back.
It's like therapy.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
I got in the back seat, and I was like, dude, your seat is like soaking wet, this seat. And he goes,
ew, gross.
Oh, no. I hope that last rider didn't piss in it. And then he put his hand on the seat and
started smelling it.
And he was
no.
like, I can't really tell. And I was just like... And then it gives you a little thing like afterwards, like, will you ever ride with Dave again?
Well,
I'm like,
no.
Submit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was the weirdest drive. There was probably some pee in that guy's car.
That's disgusting.
I didn't even think about that because like in a cab, you're like in a car that you can, this car seems like you could take a hose and like clean them out. But like if it's your car
then
and some dude pukes in it or pees in it.
Well, I'm not the best driver, but that's a big reason of why I don't think I would.
Yeah. It's good to be able to teach.
Yeah.
You know?
For a living.
Yeah. And do something related to music. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm like using my degree, I guess, you know? And the best part, or one of the best things.
I'm using my degree.
Go figure. But just the fact that I have to accompany my students every day and like quickly change the key of the song, you know, it's just like keeping my skills in that department alive. And I used to play keys a lot in high school and then I kind of stopped and just sort of only play guitar. But now I'm playing piano all day, every day, you know.
That's great.
And guitar, but it's just like, it's just basically forcing me to practice, which is great.
Because are you not a sit around and practice person? Like,
not
what if I feel
I
like
be.
Songwriter people, once you kind of learn how to write songs, that's what you do.
Right.
You either sit around, because I started out like that. I never wanted to like sit here and play scales for an hour and a half.
No.
I'm like, that's not making anything.
I should say that, yes.
I know.
Because I tell people to do that, but no, I don't. No. I should. But yeah, I practice when it's like there's a song just flowing out and I got to get it right now kind of thing. Otherwise, I don't enough. So I'm really glad that at work all day I am, you know?
Yeah. What about when you, I mean, do you ever Like, what was the last song that you heard that you were like, I gotta learn that song? Just start playing it.
Oh, I don't know.
I had one.
What?
Just 2 days ago.
What was it?
It's called Miracle Aligner by the Shadow Puppets. The Last Shadow Puppets.
Okay. I don't know it. You had to learn it?
Yeah.
I'll have some songs.
Yeah. And I just walked around my house like singing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a few songs that like my, I have a one student in particular that I swear to you, like she's a prodigy. She's like way better at singing than me. I shouldn't be teaching her, but she'll come up with these like just random covers and I'm like, whoa, like that's a really beautiful song. Let's just whatever. And it makes me want to go home and play it, you know, yeah, myself. But yeah, I don't listen to things that inspire me enough, which is probably why I feel so uninspired right at this present time. But I know it'll pass, you know.
Are you playing at that Strange Brew thing? This will already have passed when this comes out.
I'm singing with Jamie at it. Okay. Yeah.
That's a bummer that happened.
Super.
We really talked about it on here.
Yeah. I'm really bummed.
Yeah.
That place has been just kind of just a staple since I moved back in terms of like, you know, like when I first was testing out some of my new songs, I would go to those open mics. And I recently had a student of mine that she's like a 16-year-old singer-songwriter, and I told her about the Strange Brew open mics, and she started going, and it's been huge for her. And she got like one of their artist showcases, and she played that back in December, and that was the last time I went. And it was like such a cool moment for me because I was seeing like it be such a rewarding thing for my student, and it had also been that way for me.
Yeah.
And I just can't think of another place right. I know that we'll find one and we'll make one, but I can't think of another place right now that has that sort of community thing going, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting what happens when, because it was perceived as, I mean, it's been to me like that place and like Hotel Vegas have been like the treasured places over the last 5 years.
Hotel Vegas? Like, really?
Yeah. People want to play there. I mean, rock bands. I mean, if you were in like a punk rock band, where would you want to play?
I guess I don't know. I'm not cool enough to know this answer.
That's not a matter of being cool or not cool.
I think it
might
be.
No, it's not. I hate that perception because then you just walk around feeling bad about yourself all the time.
But I just have never, I've never played there or thought about playing there, so I don't know.
I played there a lot when it first, I actually had a residency. Me and Danny Malone used to play on Sundays there.
Mm-hmm.
And my band Liars and Saints, like when it opened, we played there all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no problem with that place. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's sad to see a place like that go down. I wonder if it was cause they tried to overextend themselves. That's I will say this. Like. I rehearse at Space.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, I was on the phone driving.
Yeah.
I do the earbuds. So you know, I'm not like this. Right.
Right.
So I'm driving. And I was talking, I can't remember who it was, but it was a music person. And I was like, hey, they took this sign down. You know how they used to have who was playing? At Strange Brew when
yeah.
you pulled in the parking
lot? Oh, yeah.
It was down. All the, yeah, but like the white stuff behind it was off. All you could see through it and the lights.
That's
and I was
weird.
Like,
That doesn't look good.
Looks a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that guy had resigned on Facebook the week before.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a spiraling just like
I'm just trying to find out the mystery. I'm not laughing at I think it's sad and I think it's great that you guys have gotten together and you're doing this benefit for the employees because that's who suffers.
Absolutely.
Those guys didn't know they weren't gonna have a job.
And I've heard all kinds of rumors about them not getting the insurance that they need from it and all sure. Yeah, it's all like
there's been things about the checks bouncing and stuff on the online and stuff.
I can't imagine. So it's not my gig, but I feel like it is because I just feel like a part of Jamie's band and I'm happy to contribute however I can. So,
sure. You guys share Brian, right?
Yes.
He plays with her
too.
Yeah,
so that's how I met Jamie is through Brian. And Brian teaches where I teach at the Woodshed. So he kind of helped me meet a huge community of fellow musicians here.
Yeah.
So once I moved back.
And you're cool with the inauguration? Are you going to, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? That's my question. I understand people are up in arms. I'm not, this is not what I wanted in life. But then my thing, I'm always thinking like, well, then what am I supposed to do? Except like vote for guys to go into Congress and in the Senate.
And stay active.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that definitely that aspect. But then I think there was just like this like overall shock.
Yeah.
with people, I remember sitting there with Jamie when it was all like happening and we were both just like, I don't get it. I still don't get it. Still don't understand how was ever even like a candidate, but
it's easy to understand. He's very famous.
Yes.
So that's that immediately puts him way ahead of everybody else, because when all those people come out, you don't know who the fuck they are.
Yeah. So the fact that they even recognize the name, they're like, oh, I'll you know. But I feel like there's this, everyone just assumes that it's kind of like reality TV watchers and people that don't know anything or don't educate themselves that voted him for him or whatever. But I don't think that's the case. I know a lot of like really very, very, very smart people that chose to vote for him. And that's where it's like, okay, let's have some conversations about this, because though I don't understand, I want to like see so that there isn't this like huge divide in understanding what's going on, you know, because clearly some people were very unhappy,
right?
Which is why this happened. I wasn't unhappy, but
I think also there's a certain amount of getting riled up that's happening to us through social media, because everyone's on it, even him.
Yeah,
you know, and he's riling people up, and he has a weird that we're seeing something in him that we've never seen in a leader, is like just lashing out all the time at like everyone else. Is like,
but that's what I don't like.
He's acting almost like he didn't win.
Yeah,
I mean really,
like, there's just like a level of like respect that he's not like, you know, you're not acting presidential by going and ranting on Twitter at 3 a.m.
No, like, it's weird.
Like, there's just like this lack of like, you need to act with more, you know, whatever.
With more I don't know what the class.
Word is. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, you're like a billionaire. Jesus.
Yeah, like, have some class, you know, like, give us a reason to be like, oh, yeah, he's the president, you know?
Well, I understand, and there's a lot of people. I think the one thing that you pointed out is the most important thing of all, is that people should talk to each other about it, because there's a reason why people voted for him, and it's not because they're evil and want Nazism to take over America.
No, it's not that.
And they hate, like, Mexicans and all brown people.
It's not like they're not all racist. It's at all else. Like, it's like they're totally thinking about something that we're not thinking about, you know. And
that's what this election, I think, has shown me, is that we need to sit down
and talk about those
as
things.
A country and be like, what do we want here?
Right, people, like, I think assume that just because people voted for him that must mean that they don't, you know, it doesn't mean that. It's it's more complicated, I think.
Thank you, Jane, for
are
being
we already
like,
done.
No, I was just saying thank you for pointing that out.
Oh, I was like, that went by so fast.
No. All in My Head is the single. It comes out on February 17th. You can go to janeellenbryant.com to get it. Now, are you working on other new songs in the studio? Or are you're always work? You and Frenchie always have something cooking.
Yeah,
something's always in the oven.
There's a song that I wrote in August, I think. When I first started writing, I feel like it was just a constant flow of like boom, 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 boom. It's not like that anymore. I wish it was, and I know I need to work on just staying more available to that. But there was a time in August where I like carved out time to go write. Like, I'm gonna go out of town to this ranch, and I'm gonna think about writing songs. And I wrote a few like really bad ones, and then I like took a nap, and the chorus of this song that's gonna come out hopefully after All in My Head was playing in my head. And when I woke up, I wrote the whole thing, and I was able to kind of draw on like past experiences and whatever for, so it kind of proved to myself, you don't need to necessarily have like drama or heartache currently in your life in order to get something real. Cause I think as an artist, sometimes we feel like we have to like torture ourselves in order to make good art. And I still kind of think that, but in this moment I was able to channel something of the past, and it felt still very real and like raw. Anyway, so it's like it's turned into just like this piano ballad song that I really, really love, and I might release that after All in My Head, which will be totally different. But I think it's important for me to show that I'm both of those things. I'm not just one or the other. Like, I'm not just rock, or I'm not just what, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess technically it's maybe not good marketing to put out something that's so different after. This
is it
really? I don't know,
because you know how people complain, like, oh, you know, I don't like that guy, his songs sound the same.
Same, yeah. See, that's what I think.
And then you bring a record where every song's different. They're like, you know, man, there's no focus on this record.
I think if it's all really truly coming from this artist and like it's real, then it does tie together. It sounds like them,
right?
If it's real, you know. So both songs are very different, but they came out of a very real situation that I just, whatever, here's my song. So they're going to sound different, but they're still equally me. And I want to be able to do both, to have a show where I'm rocking out and whatever. And then I sit down at the piano and like, we go there for a second and then we go back, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what keeps it exciting to me. And like, I don't know, makes me.
Did we have this conversation before about how difficult that is to do at like a bar? Like at C-Boys, it's easy to get a song like 20s across
absolutely
to the audience.
But it's not as easy to
It's not as easy to get this.
Yes. So I run into that. I run into that problem a lot. And there's a few venues in town. Actually, tonight I'm playing it. This will already be gone when you're hearing this. Playing it one-to-one. Uh-huh. And I love that venue because I can do both.
You can.
And I'm going to. But I don't know about C-Boys. We'll see. We'll maybe try and just whatever.
Oh, no.
But,
yeah, I don't.
That's not a criticism of any place.
It's just, not at all.
You know, people, and I get it, people on Saturday night don't necessarily want to, you know.
Well, when someone buys tickets 3 months in advance to go see a Jane Ellen Bryan concert at the Paramount Theater.
Yeah.
They're going to go with you anywhere you go.
Exactly.
But if they're driving home on Friday talking to their friend and they're like, hey, let's do something tonight. Oh, we're going to go see Jane at the thing and meet all of our friends.
Exactly.
That's a different thing. That's a bunch of people talking.
Exactly. They're not there.
And enjoying your music.
Absolutely. And I want them to have fun.
But not sitting in silence in a theater.
Exactly. And it's not even like a silence thing. It's just that more of like in your head, you have to be ready to accept where we're going and be like in a more of like a listening kind of space. And sometimes it's like we're just trying to like meet up with people and have a good time, and I respect that and I want to also be that, but I don't know, I just can't help but want to do, but it's like what makes me feel like alive, you know? I can't
you gotta satisfy who you are as an artist.
So you know, and some of my favorite artists do that, like Bonnie Raitt or Sheryl Crow. Like I've seen them both multiple times, and they do that. Like we're rocking out, and then she's sitting in the front, just you know, like oh now I'm crying. I didn't realize it, but oh now I'm rocking out again. You know, and it just takes. But that is like at the Paramount or at ACO Live or something where it's like I've bought this ticket and I'm sitting here to go on their journey. You know. So
from the time Sheryl Crow walks out, I'm on her, whatever she says, I get it, you know.
But I am not at the point in my career where I can play at the Paramount Theater. So it's you just kind of try to make it work wherever you are. But I don't want to have to. It's hard to like. Okay, I'm playing it, you know, somewhere on Red River where it's like we're rocking out the whole time. Okay, well I'm only gonna rock out. You know.
Yeah, I think if you come out and you stick to your guns like that, then you will create an audience that comes to expect that.
Yeah,
and no matter where you play, they'll be with you. Yeah,
I hope so. So maybe we just need to stick to it no matter where we're playing. And still just figuring it out. But
man, I did this once at the Warped Tour. Like just, I remember what my band, you know what the Warped Tour is? It was kind of like a... Didn't we do this before with the Lilith Fair? Didn't I ask you what Lilith Fair was? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the 90s festivals you don't know about.
Yeah.
But the Warped Tour was like rock and roll, like punk rock and like ska and all these rock bands, but it was a big tour with all these bands and it went in the summer. Mm-hmm. And my band had gotten signed and they were like we were about to go make a record and people were like, "Okay, well, you got this Warped Tour, go do this thing." And so we were playing a set where we were starting off with this super slow 6-8 7-minute song. And I was like, hey, no, we're going to come out and do like these fast songs and do this. And our manager was like, no, man, you know, he didn't say open with this. He was like, don't stop being who you are to accommodate to the audience.
That's interesting.
Like, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's.
But he didn't go like, but don't play that song first, dude.
Yeah.
So we got up and stage with the whole crowd in front of us, they just dispersed throughout the 7 minutes.
No.
And it was like, you know, the girlfriends of the band, my wife, my manager, and his wife, they were just like, oh, yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like,
good.
But I mean, you know, you do what
you have to do it.
Yeah, you got to do what you think you should be doing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm learning every day, but there's like a few things. It's just like, you know what? I feel like this is me, and I gotta stick to it. Are you seeing things happening on the TV?
Seeing a lot of people singing.
Okay.
Like a choir. But I don't think that's a more of a tabernacle choir. There's a bunch of old dudes in it.
Who knows?
Isn't that kids? The Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
I think so.
Should be.
Yeah.
Anyway, so people can go to janeellenbryan.com. All in My Head is the single, comes out Friday, February 17th. If you live in Austin, there's a single release show Friday, February 17th at Seaboys. And you're playing with Dr. Joe. Mm-hmm. Who is that?
He's a guy that Frenchie's also worked with. And I've actually never gotten to see him live before. I've like missed out the chance. But I hear he's just like awesome. He takes a piano with him everywhere he goes. So
that's a real piano?
Yeah, like a real piano. He moves it around. Yeah. But everyone that I've heard that has seen him is like, oh, yeah, that guy's awesome. So that'll be really fun to have him kick things off, and then we'll be next.
Do you know what time the whole show starts?
9.
9? Okay. And you'll be going on around 10:30?
Probably maybe a little bit before that. I'm not really sure. We're going to just get there at 9.
Figure it out. Yeah, just get there and have a good time. Yeah. It's Jane Ellen Bryant and her fabulous band with Dr. Joe opening.
Yes.
Is there anything that I'm missing? I enjoy talking to you.
Me too. I don't know. I don't think so. Just same old shit, you know?
Same old shit.
Yeah.
New day.
New president.
Yeah, it is a new, it's a new day. New president.
It's a new era.
It is a new era.
That's, I think, you know.
That last era was very good.
It was very good.
I felt
very comfortable in, you know, that situation. So.
Me too.
Maybe this one will shake our bones a little bit and make us be more aware and be more just okay.
That kind of stuff does make for great art.
It totally does. And I could use a little bit of a shake up.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a little stuck in my routine. So
yeah,
maybe it is time to, okay, shit's crazy. Let's pay more attention to what's going on here and think about it and talk about it, write about it, be who we're supposed to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone get out and pick up All in My Head, the new single from Jane Ellen Bryant, comes out this Friday, February 17th. And go to the show if you live in Austin at Seaboys. Friday, February 17th, go at 9.
Yes.
Or before. And you can always get some nice red beans and rice outside, which is good.
Oh, I've heard that's really good. I'm going to
really
do that.
Really good.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. I'll be losing my mind.
All right. Great conversation with one of my favorite artists right now, Jane Ellen Bryant. Her single, All in My Head, the one that you're hearing right now, comes out this Friday, February 17th. Go to janeellenbryant.com to find out where you can get it and everything. And she's doing a single release show this Friday, February 17th at Seaboys here in Austin, Texas. I will be there. Maybe I'll see you there. I want to thank Jane for coming by. I want to thank you for hanging out and watching the inauguration speech with me. We watched it, and then Jane left. What a weird day, huh? Strange day to do that podcast, but I'm glad we got to experience that moment in history together as two artists and two people going like, what? Anyway, thanks to Jane for coming by. Get out there. Get the single All in My Head. Great song. And it's going to be a great show this Friday at Seaboys. Friday, February 17th. Get out there and do it. And while you're out there checking out Jane Ellen Bryant stuff on the internet, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on your iPhone podcast app. On most podcast apps, you can find How Did I Get Here. If you can't find it, let me know, and we will fix that. And you can like our Facebook page. It's How Did I Get Here. Get out there. You can see photos of people like me and Jane Ellen Bryant and all kinds of people that come on the show and just general life stuff. You can subscribe, find out what's happening on the show. Okay? Thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of the song, All in My Head. Go get it this Friday. Jane Ellen Bryant, All in My Head. Do it. Have a great week. Let's get down.
Was it all in my head?